Follow along. John 3. John chapter 3. All right, let's read I'll read the verse, Sue, and then we'll send all the kiddies out.
What was the verse?
I didn't say the verse yet. Verse 1. Verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. I will read, you listen. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we could gather together today. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Thank you, Lord, for this book. Lord, we thank you for this chapter. We thank you, Lord, for this story about Nicodemus and how you answered him and how you showed him plainly how he, as a religious leader, he needed to be born again. Lord, every human being that has ever been born needs to have a second birth in order to go to heaven. Lord, I pray that you would make that clear today. And just, Lord, I pray for your help in this message. We ask that you would get all the honor and the glory and the attention. Lord, remove it from me. I just want to be a mouthpiece, Lord, today that proclaims the truth from the word of God. And so, Lord, we ask today for your power to be here. We ask, Lord, again for your presence. We know that where two or three are gathered together in the midst, you are there as we come together in your name. Lord, I just praise you and thank you for the promises that we have in the word of God. Lord, bless now the time that we have. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen. You may be seated and kids can be excused. Junior church. I'm talking junior church. Goodbye, junior church. Don't come back. The parents will come and get you afterwards. Pray for the junior church. Pray for the junior church workers. Takes a special spirit to do that. John chapter 3 is probably one of the most popular chapters in the Bible. And I'm not going to ask you today what's your favorite chapter, favorite book, favorite verse. So many people do. We all seem to have a favorite chapter we love, or a favorite story, or a favorite book we enjoy studying and reading through, or we have a favorite verse that we We call it our life verse, whatever you want to call it. We all have that. I'm talking more popular is probably this chapter. And I would say that probably John 3:16 is the most popular verse in the entire world. That one verse has been translated into more languages than any other verse or even the scriptures themselves. That language has been translated in so many different verses, just the one verse. It's a very popular verse. It's the first verse I ever learned in my life as a young child going to vacation Bible school in a little town called Memphis, New York, not too far from here. As we went to the Baptist church there in Memphis as a kid, they taught us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That verse probably is a verse that many children learn or people learn possibly throughout life. That might be the first verse that you learned as you were growing up or right after you got saved. Maybe it was a different verse. I'm just saying that's a great verse. Because it tells us how much God loves this world. It tells us how much God loves us. His love is is beyond what we can even understand. We can't understand the love of God. The closest we can get to understanding his love is by seeing his son Jesus Christ die on a cross for us. That's as close as we can get. And providing salvation for all of us. Every human being. Not just to a select few, but to every sinner in the world. Any sinner in the world can be saved. Any sinner can be saved. I just want us to go through this a little bit this morning and look at this guy. He's an interesting character. His name is Nicodemus. Nicodemus's name means victorious among his people. His name means conqueror. And so when he comes to Jesus, and several people have thought, well, why did he come at nighttime? Well, possible things was Jesus was extremely busy through the day, and Nicodemus, even though he was watching Jesus, didn't have the opportunity to go and speak to him. It's possible that Nicodemus was busy throughout the day, and this is the only time that Nicodemus had to go and talk with Jesus. Obviously, Nicodemus wanted to get in touch with Jesus Christ. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus. So who came to who? Nicodemus came to Jesus. He was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a religious ruler, a religious person. He was part of the Sanhedrin, which was made up of 70 individuals, different scribes, Pharisees. This was the ruling aspect of the Jewish nation. The Sanhedrin ruled over the religious things that took place within the Hebrews, within the Jewish nation of Israel. Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin. He was a ruler of the Jews. He ruled over the people. He ruled over their religious teachings. He would take care of that, as poorly as it was back in those days. But this individual, Nicodemus, came to Jesus. He was seeking something. He wanted to find out what this man was all about. Jesus Christ had become the most popular man in that particular part of the world at that particular time when Jesus came on the scene. He was popular. People loved him or they hated him. That was it. I mean, he was either loved or hated. Came down to the point where they hated him so much they wanted him crucified. He says to Jesus in verse 2, he says, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." We. He didn't say me or I. He says, "We know." He wasn't the only Pharisee that knew that Jesus was different. He wasn't the only Pharisee that knew that Jesus had come from God. But he was one of the few Pharisees that literally said anything about Jesus coming from heaven to this earth. Nicodemus was one of just a very small handful that actually was not afraid to witness for what he believed. He says, we know that you're a teacher come from God. We have no problem with that. We're having a hard time because they were looking for something completely different in their Messiah. They were looking for their Messiah, their ruler, to come and set up the kingdom right then and there and kick the Romans out of Israel. That's what the Jews were looking for. They weren't looking for a savior. They were looking for a king to come and take over and get the Romans out of there. Jesus didn't come to do that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to lay his life down on a cross for the sins of the entire world. That's why he came the first time. They were having a hard time fathoming that. They didn't understand that. They didn't like that. But he says, hey, we know that thou art a teacher. Come from God. I believe in that verse, those words that Nicodemus was saying, that he was recognizing Jesus as God. Jesus is God. Nicodemus had no problem with that. Now, he had a few problems when Jesus immediately starts to talk to him about being born again. Nicodemus just couldn't fathom that. He did later on. We see that later, that Nicodemus got it. And Nicodemus became a follower of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus says, he responds in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot, will not go to heaven unless you're born again. Period. You cannot and will not go to heaven unless you've been born again. It's nothing else. It's not works. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. You can't be just a good man, a good woman. You can't be a good person and expect to go to heaven. It's not the way it works. If that was the case, Jesus would have not come and died on the cross for our sins. So Jesus immediately says to Nicodemus, this is what you need, Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus responds in verse 4, you probably would have done the same thing. Don't sit there and shake your little bony finger at Nicodemus. You would have done the same thing. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Can I say this? You look at that response at first and you say, Nicodemus, that is totally unreasonable. But Jesus is talking about being born again. That really is not as unreasonable as it would appear. Right? I mean, he's asking a question that he was trying to get clarity from. He simply said to Jesus, how can he? This is impossible, Jesus. Well, with a human being, it is impossible. With a man, it is possible, because you can't save yourself. Try as hard as you can, and you cannot save yourself. And so Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't get saved without being born of the water and the Spirit. Now you say, well, what's the water? There are three trains of thought on what the water is. There are some churches and religious groups and denominations that teach that that water is baptism. And if you're not baptized, you can't go to heaven. You've got to be dipped, sprinkled, poured upon. You've got to have water thrown on you somehow, some way, by somebody in order for you to go to heaven. When we study the scriptures, we know that that is impossible. Baptism cannot save you. Baptism has no saving merit whatsoever. Baptism comes after you're saved. So if you're trusting your early life baptism as maybe a Catholic, Methodist, Protestant, you know, some kind of one of those churches that still sprinkle babies or children, if you're counting on that to get you into heaven, that's not going to do it. No matter who the priest, pastor, preacher, person was, that sprinkled, poured, dipped, whatever. You cannot count your baptism as your way into heaven. So, all right, well, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The second thought on that is, well, that water must mean the first birth. Because we're born, you know, we're there in that, what do you call it? Amniotic fluid. You're there in that fluid within your mother's womb for those 9 months, and then the water breaks and out you come. So that water must be that. I held to that for a number of years, but I've changed my thought. Preacher changed his thought? You can't do that. Why can't we? The more you read and study the Word of God, the more the Holy Spirit gives you clarity on certain things. And sometimes we go with what we hear a preacher preaches, and that we have to be careful of, because preachers are just men, and they get their opinions sometimes from other men, good preachers, or they might immediately read something and immediately come up with an opinion or an interpretation on that, and that may be fine, it may be what it is that God is trying to tell you. But sometimes, many times in my years of salvation, in my years of study, I have changed views on things, nothing major. You know that. We believe in salvation by grace through faith alone. I believe in the virgin birth of Christ. I believe that this book is the pure Word of God. I believe Jesus Christ is coming back again. I hold to a pre-tribulation rapture. I hold to a premillennial return of Christ. I hold to a literal 1,000 years. We all know those basic doctrines, right? We hold to those. Those are dear to my heart. But there are some things that as you're reading the Word of God, and I read this Bible through every year. I study the Word of God above and beyond my daily Bible reading. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, this is the real way it should be. And what you need to do is reduce your pride and say, okay. Sometimes we're so full of pride, I've got the answers and I know what I'm teaching and this is the truth, and preacher, you're not going to change me on anything. That's fine. I have to be willing to sometimes maybe readjust my own interpretation when it comes to certain things in the Scripture. So I hold to the third one now, and it's been a while since I've kind of looked at this and I've studied it out, and I've got tons of Scripture written next to this verse, that I believe, I don't hold to the first one, where you've got to be baptized in order to go to heaven. That is out the window. The next two, there's a possibility about the physical birth, because we know that you got to be physically born in order to have a second birth. We understand that. But that's a no-brainer. We all understand that, right? In order to have a second birth, you got to have a first birth. But the third one is the water is likened to the Word of God. You can't be saved without the Bible. You cannot be saved without this book. Somebody has to quote it. You have to hear it. You have to read it. The preacher has to preach a message on it. The Word of God has to go out, whether it's from a pulpit, whether it's online, whether it's on radio, whether it's television, whether it's print somewhere. You can't get saved unless the Word of God is given to you. You've got to have the Word of God. And so I hold to this, and I'll just give you some scripture quickly on it. I've got lots of it written down because I've gone through this. But in James chapter 1 and verse 18, James chapter 1 verse 18, James 1:18 and verse 21. James 1:18. I'm just going to get there and read because I have scripture here quite a bit. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God, is able to save your souls. Go back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20 and verse 31. John 20, 31. John chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. What is written? What John wrote? What did he write? He wrote the Word of God. That when we read the Word of God, that's how we become believers. By reading and understanding what Jesus Christ said, and what John the Apostle, Peter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, all of them, as they wrote the Word of God, they did that for our learning. They did that so we could believe and to believe Jesus Christ, and by believing we can have life through his name. That's the purpose. I think chapter 20 and verse 21 could be the key verse of the entire New Testament. That's why these things were written down. Chapter 8, verse 51. We're still in John. John 8, 51. John 8, 51. John 8, 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Well, what saying is that? The saying of what he said in the Bible. If you keep this book, if you read this book and understand this Bible and believe what it says, not argue with God, not try to change the Word of God into what you want it to say, but just believe it as written. That's all you got to do. Believe it as it's written. Do I struggle with Scripture? Of course I do. I struggle with things. I really don't understand that yet. Boy, I don't quite get that yet. You know, I mean, somebody this morning asked a question at the men's prayer breakfast about why is it mentioned in the book of Leviticus from 1 month old on up and not from less than that. I don't know. The only thought that came to my mind is, well, sometimes between 0 and 1, there could be problems, and maybe in those days children, some survived, and if they survived a month, they were pretty much surviving. Before that, maybe not. I don't know. There's things in the Bible we just don't absolutely have a clear cut. I'm talking a clear cut. Yeah, we could sit around and rationalize and interpret and try to figure it out, but there are just some things when God wrote it down, He just wrote it down for the sake of just writing it down. You know, why is it that only from 30 to 50? I'm 16 years over the priest's age of serving in a temple. I'm an old fogey compared to those guys. Those guys were kicked out of the service at the age of 50. They retired at 50. I still haven't retired. I don't really plan on retiring, but someday I'll step aside and let somebody younger and more vibrant than me and much more handsome than me step behind the pulpit. As long as they deliver the Word of God, that'll be fine. And so I believe that you've got to be saved by listening and believing the Word of God. John 5, 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Heareth my word. You got to hear the word of God. You got to hear the word of God. You got to believe what it says, and you have to trust what it says, and you have to ask Jesus Christ to save you. That's all it takes, is just believing. 1 Peter 1:23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Did you know the term, the two words born again is only mentioned 3 times in the entire Bible? Did you know that? 3 times. Born again. Twice in John, and the other time is right here, the verse we're going to read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. This is the only other time in the entire Bible that the two words born again are put together. Born and again are, you know, not put together throughout the Bible, but we see that here. The Bible says in chapter 1, 1 Peter, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So how are you born again? By the word of God. Take that, compare that with John 3, as we're discussing here this morning. And so what is it? What are the two things that you need for salvation? You need the word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit draws you to Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin and of your need to be saved. Without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. You'll just be trusting in something you don't know what anything about. Without the Holy Spirit's instruction and guidance and pulling and conviction, you can't be saved. And without the Word of God, you can't be saved. We have a lot of people today that think they're saved. They think they're Christians. I should say, not so much the terminology say, but the terminology of just being a Christian because they attend a church, a Protestant, a Catholic, whatever. Because they go to church somewhere, they think that they're Christians. We have a lot of Christians by name only. They claim to be Christians, but there's nothing here. There's no change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If there's never been a change in your life from the old to the new, then you didn't get saved. People don't like to hear that, but that's the truth. That's the Bible that we have. The Word of God makes it very clear. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Ephesians 5:26. I'm just trying to give you scripture as to why I believe what I believe. Ephesians 5:26. Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by what? Say it. By the word. By the word. The washing of water by the word. If I only had that one verse, that would be enough to tell me that the water in John 3 could be that. The washing of the water. Now, if you believe the second one, if you believe the first one, we need to sit down and talk. Okay, that baptism saves you. That's completely against scripture. If you believe the second one, I will not argue with you. I won't make a face at you, and I won't even make fun of you. How's that? And if you believe the second one and I believe the third one, please don't make a face at me and, you know, argue with me and tell me what a heretic I am. They're both possible. Do you understand that? There's a lot of possibilities in scripture. It's when we become so adamantly about one thing that it could be another thing. That's what we have to be careful about. I want to make that clear today. Look at Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus 3:5. It's okay for Christians to have different opinions on different things in Scripture when it's not completely 100% black and white and clear. Do you understand? There are some things in Scripture that you could say, it could go that way or this way. It could go my way or your way. It could go your way or my way, right? I mean, think about that. We don't need to sit around and argue about it. It could be, you might be right. Praise God if you are. Hallelujah. I might be right. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out really who was right. If either one of us was even right. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There's that washing again. What does water do? Water washes, right? It washes us clean. What does the Word of God do? It washes us clean. When we read the Bible, we are literally taking a shower in God's Word. We're getting clean through the Word of God. The sins that may be in our life can be, we can recognize them as we read the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. And this Bible is a way, has a cleansing way about it. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, the initial faith is your faith in Jesus Christ. That's your initial faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. I know many of you know the passage, but if you don't, we'll turn over there. Ephesians 2:8-9. It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when we see that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, there's two aspects of that faith. There's the initial faith of salvation. Then secondly, there is the faith of service and growing as a Christian. As we grow in the word of God, as we learn the word of God, as we're reading and studying the word of God, that faith that we have by hearing the word of God grows us and makes us into the Christians that God wants us to be. It matures us. I believe that we have a lot of immature Christians today because they spend no time in God's Word. Amen. You spend no time in God's Word, you're going to be an immature Christian. Sorry, it's just the way it is. Every little thing's going to bother you. You're not going to understand things that are going on in the world and in the Word of God because you're just immature. I'm not making fun. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. The more we grow in the Word of God, the more mature we'll become in the Word of God and the things of the Lord. Getting back to our text, let me give you three things about Nicodemus. Number one, he came to Jesus by night, verses 1 and 2. We see that. He came to Jesus by night. Now, we could sit around and talk why he came. I already gave you a couple of reasons maybe why he came around during the nighttime. But let me say, let's turn this into a spiritual lesson, all right? Every human being that comes to Jesus the same way. We come to Jesus by night. It's dark in the life of a lost person. It's dark, it's dingy, it's difficult to understand life. You have no light of the Word of God. It's dark. I mean, you go over to verse 19. I read that at the end of the reading. This is the condemnation that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So every human being that gets saved comes to Jesus Christ by night. Not the physical nighttime, but a nighttime in your heart, a nighttime in your soul, a nighttime that you're trying to figure out exactly what to do in life and you don't know what to do and the scriptures aren't making sense. Maybe God isn't even making sense. And there's that time of darkness in every human being's life when they come to Jesus Christ. And then when you accept Christ as your Savior and He enters into your heart with the Holy Spirit, the lights are turned on. It's like living in a dark room or blinded so long and then all of a sudden you can see the truth from the Word of God. It's like, wow, I never saw that before. Now when you read the Word of God, you understand what you're reading. You don't understand it all. You're not going to get every little tiny nitbit, every little thing. There's nuggets in there that only come by digging and digging and digging and digging. You want to go pan for gold or dig for gold somewhere, you've got to do a lot of digging before you get your first little nugget of gold. Same thing with the Bible. You want to get the nuggets from the Word of God, there's a lot of digging there. There's a lot of study there. There's a lot of reading there. There's a lot of time that you have to spend with God. I'll tell you what, it's looking pretty dark in this day and age right now. With the government passing these crazy, ridiculous bills, the abortion rates, all of this stuff. I mean, we could spend hours talking about all of the stuff that is nighttime in this country and in this world. To me, it's looking pretty dark. Now, I understand the Word of God, and as a Christian, I can still be positive in a negative world. Amen. We can still be positive. We can still rejoice. We can still be glad. We can still be happy. Hey, I'm thankful that we know the outcome. I've read the last chapter of the Bible, and we win! Amen. We win! We're going to enter heaven someday. We have a lot to look forward to as a Christian. Stop looking at the material and the physical. Start looking at the eternal and the spiritual. Too many people are looking at only what they can see, the material and all of the stuff around them. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And if you're here today or you're listening online to us right now and there's that nighttime fog around your spiritual mind and your spiritual eyes, you need Jesus Christ. Because the Lord enlightened Nicodemus. Second thing about Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by need. By need. Jesus said to Nicodemus in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He came to Nicodemus with a tremendous need. Remember what he said in verse 2, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. A lot of the Pharisees knew who Jesus was. They just didn't believe that Jesus was who he said he was. They saw the miracles. They hid around every lamppost and they hid around the buildings and they watched Jesus perform amazing miracles that no one had ever done anything like that before. Raise the dead to life from dead. Heal the blind and the lame and the sick and the lepers. Calm the storm. I don't know if they actually saw that, but the disciples saw that and spread the word about that. Jesus could do any miracle at all. He says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. But he was missing something. Nicodemus was religious, very religious. Remember, he was a ruler of the Jews. Being religious does not get you into heaven. Knowing all of the commandments, if you could quote the Ten Commandments right now, it's not going to get you into heaven. Some of you can do that. Some of you would have no idea what the Ten Commandments are. just being religious, being a member of a church, Seneca Bible Baptist Church, that doesn't make you a member of heaven. You can be a member of an earthly church, but not the spiritual, eternal church that Jesus talks about. Nicodemus was quite a man. I think people looked up to him. He was a ruler. He was a religious man that people listened to, and yet he was leading them down a wrong spiritual road. Nicodemus had a need that only Jesus could meet. So Nicodemus came not only by night, not only by need, but thirdly, he came to Jesus for the new birth. The new birth. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus didn't get it right at first. But I think as Jesus said it again in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. We sang that song a little while ago. Ye must be born again. What does the word must mean? Must. You have to be saved. There's no other avenue. There's no other way. There's no other hope except to be born again. Ye must be born again. He says, marvel. Jesus said, marvel not. That's plain language. I think that song that we sang a few minutes ago even said something about that. Very clear. It's very plain. Marvel not. That's plain. He said in chapter 3, verse 7, that I said unto thee, that's personal. Personal. Nicodemus, I'm talking to you. Thee. If you know your Bible, if you know your King James Bible, you know the these and the thous and the thines. And the thys are second person singular. Nicodemus, I'm talking directly to your eyeballs, to you. Thee. All the yees and the yous, that's plural. Second person plural. That's more than one. That's a group. That's a country. That's a people. Whatever. And even when you read this, I've underlined all the yees and the these in this passage. Because there are these and there are yees here. Well, the yees, Jesus is speaking beyond just Nicodemus. The thee is Nicodemus. I'm talking to you. Isn't it something where he said, I marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Why did he change it? Because being born again was not just for Nicodemus, but for everybody else. Get that? Got the thee, but then the ye. Singular, then plural. Ye is plural. He's saying ye, everybody, not just you, Nicodemus. I'm talking to the entire nation of Israel. I'm talking to all the Gentiles. I'm talking way out there to 2021. Amen. On March 7th, right here. Is it March 7th?
Yes.
I didn't look today. It is March 7th. I'm talking to every single person that's listening here in this room and online or anywhere else. Ye must be born again. So it's plain, it's personal. And then when he said, ye must be, that's positive. That brings no doubt into it. Ye must be. Must be. Not, you might be. You should be. Be nice if you do. No, you must be born again. Ye must be. That is a positive message that Jesus was giving. Now when he said born, that's productive. Right? People, ladies bring babies into the world, that's productive. We as Christians are to be trying to deliver other Christians into the world by winning souls, what we're talking about. And then when he says again, that word again means perfect or from above. It's perfect. You know this plan of salvation that Jesus and God the Father put together is a perfect plan? Do you know it's flawless? Do you know your Bible is flawless? Do you know that salvation is flawless? You either is or you ain't. There's no in between. You either is, Southern preacher said this, you either is or you ain't. And either you're saved today or you're not saved today. If you're not saved today, you are in need of salvation. And you might as well put yourself in there where Nicodemus is. Put your own name in there. Because you're coming as Nicodemus, you're coming at nighttime also. A nighttime in your life spiritually to be born again, to be saved. He must be born again. That's plain, personal, positive, productive, and it's perfect. Jesus Christ's plan of salvation does not leave a church alone all by itself. It's not the Baptist theology. It's not the Baptist religion. It's not the Baptist way. It's God's way. Not any other church out there. We're not just the ones with the only answers to things of the Word of God. Drop down to verse 13. This is interesting. Verse 13. Jesus, again, is still talking to Nicodemus. He hasn't gone away yet. He's still talking to Nicodemus. And in verse 13, it's very interesting. He said these words. Pay close attention to these words. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus was right there on earth talking to Nicodemus. He was. But he also was in heaven at the same time. Don't try to, your brain will explode. Don't try to figure it out. But remember, Jesus had two natures. He had a spiritual nature and he had a human nature. His human nature was on planet Earth. His spiritual nature was in heaven with his Father at the same time that he was here on the planet. Isn't that amazing? I just read it and I believe it. Which is in heaven. In other words, what is Jesus telling Nicodemus? You're looking at him. What did he tell? Look at John chapter 14. What did he say to Philip? Or was it Philip? Or who was it? I think it's Philip. John 14. Philip saith unto the Lord, verse 8, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Try to figure that one out. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, and he doeth the works. Try to figure that one out. Jesus and the Father are in one. He said in John chapter 10, I and my Father are one. We can't figure that out. I just believe it. I don't try to, sit back and try to, okay, Lord, I got to figure this thing out. No, I just believe what it says by faith. The Jehovah Witnesses will argue and argue and argue about things like this because they don't want to fathom that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. But Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is in the Father. The Father is in Jesus. In verse 13, he's not only here, he's in heaven too. You think God can be in two places at the same time? Amen. You think God can be in 10 places at the same time? How about can God be in a million places at the same time? Yeah, he can do that kind of stuff. Because he's God. Jesus could do that. He was 100% human on this planet. 100% human. But he was also 100% divine. He was God. And then we come to John 3:16. What a verse. For God so loved the world. Does that mean he loves you? How much does he love you? So much. So much. He doesn't love me more than he loves you, and he doesn't love you more than he loves me. Some people sit around all day and just, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, and they go, go out and eat worms or something. That's what some people's attitudes are. That's just what they are. They don't realize that God loves them so much. So much. For God so loved the world, so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How are people saved today? Well, they're saved the same way they were saved in John chapter 3. Nicodemus had to believe in Jesus Christ, just like you and I have to believe in Jesus Christ. Christ hadn't been crucified yet. That was coming. We see in John chapter 7, we're almost done here, just relax. John chapter 7, in verse 50. Well, let me go back to verse 45. John 7, 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him?" Ah, wait a minute. Here we go. "But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night," being one of them, that was in parenthesis, "doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." Every man went unto his own house. What is Nicodemus trying to do? He's trying to interject here that he knows who Jesus Christ is. He's starting to speak up on behalf of his Lord and Savior. And then in John chapter 19, see one of the most endearing things in the entire Bible. Jesus Christ has been crucified, brutally beaten, and executed. Crucified on the cross. In John chapter 19 and verse 38, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of the Jew, of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus." He may have been a secret disciple, but he's no secret disciple anymore. "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night." I like the way the Bible tells us that. It doesn't make us think that there's another Nicodemus here. It's the same one that we met in chapter 3. "And brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Two men come and take the body of Jesus. They got to get it off the cross. I can't imagine how they could even do that, to get his hands free from the nails and his feet freed from the nail and get him off the cross and lower him down. And they took that body of Jesus because that man Jesus meant so much to those two men, Joseph and Nicodemus. Nicodemus wanted to be part of the burying of Jesus Christ. Nicodemus was the one that brought some of the spices and the myrrhs and the aloes and the things that they put on. They would put that on the body. They would wrap the body and put that into the linen cloths as they buried the body, get the body into the grave. But they didn't have the fancy embalming fluids that we have today, but they did the best that they could before that body had to be put away that same day, that as the individual died, they had to bury it before the sun went down. But there's Nicodemus. Doesn't care what anybody thinks anymore. People could be standing around watching and listening and thinking, and there's Nicodemus, steps right up. He says, "Let me help. Let me help. That man, I came to him by night, and he saved my soul. He changed my life. It wasn't the same Pharisee that I used to be. And now I'm part of the family of God. I want to help in the burying of Jesus Christ." See, that's what salvation will do to you. It'll change you to the point where you're not ashamed of the things of God. You'll step forward and do what needs to be done for the sake of Christ. Nicodemus did that. What an example in Scripture. We only read about him a few times here. We don't read about him much in Scripture, but what we read about him says a whole lot about his life and what salvation meant to him. What does salvation mean to you? Does it mean anything at all to you? Are you different now than when you first met Jesus Christ or he met you? Has the fog of the night, spiritually speaking, been lifted from your your spiritual heart, your spiritual brain? Does now this book, when you come to church and you hear it preached and you read it, it makes sense to you? It's not because of the preacher. Pastor, you make so much sense. No, I barely can figure things out on my own. I'm just like you. But I'm so thankful that the night, the darkness, the fog has been lifted to the point where when I read this book, it makes a lot of sense. Salvation makes a lot of sense. I'm so thankful that it's not me that has to save your soul. I'm so thankful that the baptismal tank is not what it is that you put your trust and faith in. You put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. You don't trust a preacher. You don't trust a priest. You don't trust the Pope. You trust in Jesus Christ. You must be born again. If you're not born again today, you need to be born again. It's not an option. It's not something that, you know, well, the Lord says, if you don't mind, get saved, or, you know, that's okay if you don't. No, it's not okay if you don't. You don't, you go to hell forever. A lake of fire forever. That's a choice. You either heaven or hell, one or the other. Born again or not born again. Remember, ye must be born again. Those of you that are listening online, if any of you out there are not truly born again, you need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You can bow your head right now where you're at. Admit the fact that you are a sinner. I know you don't like to admit it, but you are. And say yes, that you believe that Jesus Christ died for you, came to this earth to shed His blood for you. Say, Lord, I believe that You died for me. I believe the blood that You shed for me was for my cleansing of my soul. Lord, the best way I know how, I'm calling upon Your name right now to save you, to save me. The best way I know how, I'm calling upon You to save my soul. Please, Lord, please save me right now. If you pray a prayer like that, but in your own words, the Bible promises that you are born again. You're saved. But if you don't ever pray a prayer to Jesus Christ, you don't ever call upon the Lord to save you, you're not saved. As much as you think you might be, you're not. You must call upon Jesus Christ to save your soul. Nicodemus did. How about you? Can you do it? Of course you could. What's holding you back? What's keeping you away? What's pushing you back from trust in Christ as your Savior? Father, use this time. We pray the Holy Spirit would work and move in a mighty way right now upon every person.